Welcome to AFL Nation.
Gary Rowan wins it after the siren with a dead-eye shot.
Where are you, buddy?
There he is! He juggles the mark at the front. Gordon Springer, the magic man. He's done it again. Jake Springer, the everywhere man.
He sets the chance to get through. Dalton Pelly! Simply the bot!
Gives it to Gordon. Final bell, it's a brand new flag. 57 years of torment eased and a curse lifted. Melbourne are premiers in 2021.
AFL Nation.
When you're a team with top end aspirations, round nine is far too soon to reach the fork in the road. But that is the reality for the Western Bulldogs. 3-5, struggling for form, an endless injury list. And to claw and to scratch their way back into this season, victory tonight would seem essential. They'll have to earn it. They'll have to earn it against Collingwood, who have enjoyed promising moments on the journey under Craig McRae so far. Friday night footy brings us to Marvel under the roof as the Dogs and the Magpies square off. Hello and welcome to AFL Nation for Sports Power. Get the latest Nike footy boots in store at Sports Power now. Jared Waitley with you. Anthony Hudson is with me. Hello, hello.
Evening, Jared. And hello, everyone. Hope you're enjoying your Friday night. And we look ahead to what is a fascinating game, 9th versus 10th. But different paths we expected them to be. It seems a long time since round one last year, didn't they, when they last met at the MCG. And I remember making the observation during the game, I can see this Bulldogs team on grand final day here at the G, which of course didn't prove to be correct because we didn't play the grand final at the MCG, but they did make the grand final last year. And as seems to be typical of the Luke Beveridge tenure, it doesn't necessarily mean that that's a guide for what happens next, but they've got some excuses, haven't they? Their injury list is massive. So tonight they just have to find a way, and then obviously they do get some players back, and from there hopefully things might change. But big week, great story with Leon Cameron. Not great for Leon, I suppose, but really well handled, and I'm sure we'll ask Jonesy all about what it's like from a player's perspective.
The old Collingwood Bulldogs game I was thinking of coming here tonight was round one, 2020. Nobody here. Collingwood wiped the Bulldogs off the park, and it looked like they were absolutely cherry ripe into the new season under Nathan Buckley, and they were never sighted again, yeah, in a way.
I've said this before. I remember about round three or four when we were gathered pre-match for the Essendon game that year, about just no crowd and all that. I thought Collingwood were the best placed club going forward. They've got Dacos on the horizon. They've started the year well. Everything's looking rosy. Well, after that, they didn't fire a shot, and 2 months later, their coach was gone.
Nathan Jones, welcome back into the world.
Yes, thanks, guys. I've been in the wilderness for a couple of weeks. Apologies for my very nasal sound tonight, but obviously six people in my household, four children. We've gone down with COVID, and it was a two-week ordeal, and I'm back. I'm on the mend, and I'm feeling good. It's nice to be here tonight. And
was that a convincing I'm back on? Can you just say
no,
that?
I am actually back. Right. I am back, but other than the blocked nose and a little bit of a cough here or there, I'm COVID clear, and I'm ready for tonight's game. It should be a good one. You mentioned it earlier, Jared, fork in the road at round nine. I think it is, absolutely. My thoughts were it's almost line in the sand, really, for the expectations on the Dogs. And I think, really, it's going to shape the perspective on how far Collingwood can go. And they've been, I guess, inspired by the injection of some youth this season, but how long does that last, and how sustainable is the way they're playing with all their speed, in particular off half back, and I guess some of the foundations that Craig McRae would have put in over the summer.
We love to do a how would a player be feeling as they're driving their car in. So how would Marcus Pontempelli be? You talked about that fork in the road. What would he be thinking driving in tonight?
Oh, I think, like, internally at the club, you wouldn't want to talk it up too much. And I would anticipate, that would be the path they've gone down. Like, obviously, in the end, it's only 4 points. I think the way we look at it is you look at their, if they lose tonight, they're a long way back as far as, I think because our expectations externally is they played off in a grand final last year. why aren't they in that sort of top four mix again? And they haven't found that spark and that form that would reflect that. So I guess we're making observations that if they lose tonight, they are a long way back from being the team that we all anticipated them being this season. But I think within the Dogs lineup, they're thinking we can get back on track, and they know the formula how to do that. They would obviously be reviewing their game strongly and trying to remain somewhat positive. Hence, it's only, you know, we're not even at the halfway point of the season. But, you know, there would be an element of anticipation because they would want to get rolling, and they would know the feeling of momentum and the excitement of when they play their best footy. And I think they'd be sort of longing for that feeling again.
When an injury list is as big as theirs is, and the coach last week spoke of the night of carnage, how debilitating is it? So it's not like, so they are threadbare. There's no question. You go through their lineup. They have a good swag of established players, but it thins and it thins quickly. Excuses and reasons. I think an injury list like that is a pretty good reason. How debilitating can it be?
Oh, yeah, significantly. And you only have to look at, like, for mine, I sit there and I think English right now, with the form he's showed this year, is the equivalent of Melbourne losing Gawn, really. He's in that good a nick, and he's been so terrific this season that, you know, I think he is a huge loss. And then you see, I look at Waitman and Vandermeer, genuine speed, play a really important role structurally as high forwards, small forwards that put pressure on, which allow their defensive system, which in some way or in a lot of ways is undermanned. They do get Keith back tonight, but, you know, it's like you said, there's excuses and reasons, and I think injuries are a legitimate reason to suggest that. And, you know, what it does, it really tests the club's depth. And we've seen the teams that have been able to create, you know, dynasty-like results over long periods of time, particularly in the last decade. Yeah, there's a few of them with, you know, the Hawthorns, the Geelongs, the Richmonds that have been so consistent. Sydney's another one. You know, that depth is just so vitally important. But then you couple that with losing such significantly key players in the way your system sort of rolls on and works. You know, it's somewhat makeshift for them at the moment to try and rediscover their best form without some of their most vital cogs.
How much does it mitigate? So they haven't shown great form before the injuries really became a crisis. So now they've got both running in tandem.
Yeah, well, their midfield has basically stayed intact. Now, I mean, that you would think keeps them competitive, but their problems were already really at either end of the ground, weren't they? Obviously, Bruce being long-term, and even when he was playing, that was only just a forward line. And now, they've, as you said, they've lost that sort of the small men up forward as well. But Keith comes back, Bont comes back, English, they were hoping to get back, and then he got Crook. So, yeah, I don't know. It's the other thing that's interesting, I think, about the Bulldogs and, you know, Sam Darcy to play this weekend is their forward ills. You think that they will be able to, as Darcy and Jamara sort of come on, you can see where what their forward line's going to look like. And Bruce back, they might almost have too many. But that's not this year, is it? Well, certainly other than Bruce, they're not going to be the answer this year, are they? So it do you think it's a wasted year?
You can see with Hugo Hagen, he's going to take time. That's there. He's got all the attributes. But for him to really find his level, like you look at Norton, Norton's what, 23, and he's trying to hold down the number one key position, forward position, and without any help. Like, he is underrated, really. The quality of player and the level he plays at so consistently without the structure around him to really assist with that, like, what a player he is. But ultimately, I think for the Dogs to, you know, be competitive and sort of reach the level of form that we'd expect them to, they're going to have to unveil some sort of foil to assist with that. But what we find right now, it's almost compounding because they don't have the tools. Then they've lost two of their most vital smalls, and they've been quite thin down back. They lose their ruckman, who really is the number one advantage to that strong and experienced on-ball brigade. You know, they've yeah, there's a lot of, I guess, issues that they're facing. I think internally they wouldn't necessarily be harping on that as much as maybe we are, you know, dissecting it. Ultimately, they'd be looking at just trying to execute and bring guys in that can play and fill roles. Clearly, they may not get those roles done to the level of some of the talent that is missing. But I think they'd back themselves in if they could just get them to, you know, more guys to perform the role to the at least the minimum level that they're good enough to win the game.
It is interesting from a list point of view, isn't it, come the end of the year with their surplus of midfielders as to what they do, what they recognise and what they think they can get.
And Collingwood, so you get the honeymoon phase under the new coach, so they're 4-4, and they've had really good moments. Are we now? Is this the grind of the season now, where what's shiny and new can just come off a little bit, and it's the hard yards?
Well, I think that's sort of what I was alluding to before. Like, have we, like, and I've been there. You know, under a new coach, you know, everyone's kind of super optimistic. There's real energy and a vibe, and particularly with the way they played early in the year, they were getting results. You know, there's bang for your buck, and they're like, whoa, you know, this is great. This is, but then teams are now spend more time dissecting you. They spend, you know, I guess they put more effort into breaking down some of your strengths. And I think maybe that's why for me Collingwood are at the crossroad, because I think teams would be investing more into trying to unravel what they're doing. And we've seen that, you know, there's been questions on some of their, you know, more senior guys, Moore and Howe in particular, with their, I guess, their concentration and focus and ability to defend rather than just like drop off and cover space and intercept mark. And we know how vital their ball movement is off half back through intercept marking. But now clearly teams are probably doing their homework and you know, playing through those guys, you know, using the ball shorter, maybe creating overlap handball more often, which then takes them out of play and takes them out of position. That's why tonight is such an interesting game, because, you know, I guess Collingwood foundationally just have to go back to fundamentally what was making a really good team earlier in the year, and you know, bring a super high level of, you know, energy and effort to execute that at its absolute best. And if they don't do that, you know, then I think what ends up happening is you start to question or doubt the direction they're going in, and they may find themselves going down a more difficult path. But I think if they can find the ability to reset and I guess go back to probably the real simple messages they would have got earlier in the year, that I don't reckon anyone would have been trying anything too far out of the book. It would have just been really significant, you know, messaging and basic messaging around role playing and execution. And then they got results off that, which, yeah, ultimately in my experience at Melbourne, that was the difference between us becoming a good team and a great team, was just the ability week after week, irrespective of what the result was, that you just reverted back to executing your role. And every player within the 22, 23 players that play on the night, you know, I think that, you know, we came up with almost a, you know, an equation of, you know, if we had 16 plus players achieve minimum standard or trademark performance, we'd generally win games of footy. I think Collingwood's almost at that sort of, at that point, to trust the system that they've built and put in place.
Wonder how close Darcy Moore plays to his opponent tonight.
Yeah, well, that's going to be really interesting to watch.
And I think that's the matchup of the game. I've got it written down here, like Moore v Norton. Like, if that's how it ends up panning out, like, how good? Because Norton's really, as I said before, has been in terrific form, and Darcy Moore's been questioned on his, I guess, his defensive hunger and his ability to really sort of grind out a result one-on-one. Well, let's see him against one of the most in-forward forwards in the comp, and I think that provides, you know, an awesome matchup for the night.
It's such an interesting dynamic, as Moore's never been criticised like that before, so that will be a new experience. We imagine what they were doing last week wasn't Moore being lax, it was something else.
Yeah.
So is it, are people holding their nerve, or is Moore going, no, I'm not having six kicked on me, and the best way to beat the Bulldogs is to keep Norton to one?
It is, yeah.
So you can have your proactive defences and you can have your spatial awarenesses, but the best result tonight is for Darcy Moore to shut out Norton. Mm. So we'll see.
He's going to rely heavily, though, on the pressure and performance up the field. And I think that gets lost a bit in, like, watching and reviewing footy. I think, you know, the opinions are, you know, he got six goals kicked on him. It's a really poor defensive game, but if there's no pressure coming up the field, I'm telling you, I've been down back before, you play one-on-one in space, it's almost impossible to defend. So you need guys up the field chasing and pressuring so the forward isn't getting lace out, so you can get that extra half a step to get a fist in or just make some body.
Helps if you're in the same postcode, though, to start
with. Yeah, exactly. So I think they're the adjustments that I'll be looking out for tonight, for sure. Like, you want Moore to be closer, but you also want Collingwood to be ferocious around the contest, not allowing the ball just to come in so freely and openly. Because, like, you don't want to take away their strength. It's such a fine balance. They've got guys like Howard Moore that intercept, and they actually create a lot of score off that rebound off half back. But at the same time, as you mentioned then, Hutto, like, you can't be giving them a leg rope that's 30, 40 metres long.
So that's tonight, the Bulldogs and Collingwood. We will chat with Brendan Bolton from the Brains Trust at the Magpies and Amit Baines, the chief executive of the Dogs, in the lead up. The footy world find itself transfixed by the question of what will Clarko do next, and it's only May. And it's really not even the middle of May. So that was looming right through. Yesterday's major development was that Leon Cameron has resigned as the Giants coach. He will lead them for the last time on Sunday. And in his ninth season, he will depart. So that's early. It's early for a coach to fall on his sword or to be ushered out the door after eight rounds of footy. But in a way, it was what the Giants set themselves up for. It was always a curious setup. They came into the season without offering their long-term coach a contract. They came into a season where they knew they weren't going to be successful. This was a reset season. And so the thing that never quite married up was, how does a long-term coach reset a team without the contract to come next? There were two risks. One, that he would become a lame duck coach. And two, this would become a wasted season. So they'll have nine games under the coach who's gone as they've tried to make change, and then they'll get 13 under fresh eyes. But he's been,
Mark McVay's been
a long-term part of it. And as we sit here now, it doesn't feel like he'll be the next coach. So there's still the risk that this period of time, that this year is a year marking time before the new regime starts.
Yeah, which I've been there. I've lived that for sure. And it's...
What's the hardest thing about that?
Well, the hardest thing is, from a player's perspective, is you're going to, like, they've got, as you said, you know, they've got 13 games left. And, like,
a lot.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, what changes does McVay make? And how relevant is that to us going forward? And where do I fit in that? And, you know, there'd be so many questions going through their mind. Because
he needs to make the length of time a positive rather than a negative,
yeah.
And that's all very well for me to say that, but he has to find a way for that to be the case and to be able to communicate that.
Yeah, absolutely.
He?
I think ultimately all he can do, his job is just to try and get them playing as good a footy, win as many games as possible, because what do you want? The best thing that could happen is the players finish the year and go, you know, we've got the makings of being able to be a good side and still win games of footy, still compete. And you've got to still keep them believing in the club and the club's direction. And I've been on sort of two sides of that before, where you're hanging for the year to end because you're just going terribly and, you know, you just don't see any light. And then I've also been on the end of it where we've had a coach come in and we've won a handful of games coming towards the end of the year and you think, oh, new coach and a couple of new players and we'll be all right. There's some optimism there, but yeah, it's really tough because I don't think he's going to be. I don't think Mark McVay is going to be the next coach. So really, his role is to hold the club together until they work out what the next phase is.
And in a way, if he wins more games than we anticipate, it just confuses. We've seen that at other clubs. It just confuses everything, doesn't it? So Clarko's one aspect. James Hurd is the other that makes it fascinating. But then there's also the other potential contenders that they can get in ahead of the other clubs, isn't it?
So I think the starting point for any club who's going to move on from their coach is to sit down with Alistair Clarkson. It's not to sit down and offer him the job straight away. It's to figure out, and Clarkson spoke about it last night, is what's the synergy like? What's the alignment like? So there's no doubt that the Giants and Clarkson make sense on a level. Oh, there's part of me that goes, the team that decides, Adam Uze is the next great coach. So you can all move your pieces around on what we've seen and what we know, and there are some excellent coaches both in the system and just outside it. Or you can go, it looks like he's the next great coach. So we'll put all our energies into finding out how that looks. It is interesting, though, it's only early May. Like, it's hard to sit down and have any of those conversations at the moment. So I think you could sit down with Clarkson, but to hear him speak, because he doesn't really want to start entertaining it now. He's trying to have a break to be fresh, and so those conversations are down the track. You certainly can't sit down, like Adam Uze can't sit down in May with a club that's interested in him. So
not unless they actually did something radical and got him to move
in season.
In season.
Imagine that.
Can't see that happen.
Yeah, so May's very early to have a vacancy staring at you. It puts them in prime position to get in front of Clarkson early, but I'm just not quite sure. It's impossible to know when he might be prepared to commit, and to hear him talk last night was to think that he really doesn't want to be entertaining it till August. Mm. So it's a curiosity. It finished as in the most dignified manner.
It did. Yeah.
And I think we've been able to see for a while that it had run its course, and it had run a very good course too. How close they were in 2016, the Giants. Great run through the finals in 2019. Fell off the map in 2020. It looked like they were cast last year, and they fought their way back quite superbly and ended up winning an elimination final. They had very good in finals record. So I think my personal view, I think Leon Cameron did a sterling job at the Giants.
Oh, absolutely. And you only have to see the response, social media and stuff from the players and how glowingly they speak of him. And, I guess my dealings with him personally, he's been reached out a couple of times. Like, it just shows the mark of the bloke he is. And I think the record speaks for itself. But I thought it was handled, from what my perspective, unbelievably well. Whether or not it was mutual, I think ultimately it sets a great precedence for, where the club wants to go next as far as how it deals with its people, how it respects its people. And ultimately for me, that's such a significant cornerstone in terms of what their next move is. I felt like it was just handled and controlled publicly in particular, really terrifically. And I think he was shown the respect he deserved from the perspective that we saw.
You've worked under Adam Uze. You've had a first-hand look. Jared's speculated that he could be the guy as the best of the contenders. Do you agree?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Like, I obviously sat in the box a bit last year, not playing too much. And just seeing him, I guess the dynamic that Melbourne use is, Goody's on the bench and the assistants are in the box. And he absolutely controls, the understanding of the state of the game and sort of then opens the discussion to the other assistants as far as, what levers they're going to pull within the game style or game plan. And just listening to him, his calmness, his understanding of how he sees it and things are unfolding, and he's got a terrific eye for it. And
did he make changes that could have ended up being the difference between them winning a flag and not? Could he have been that significant?
Oh, he had a huge hand in, he had a major hand in from my experience with our midfield group. And, the criticism on Melbourne in particular was we were terrific in the contest, but, there was this opinion that it was always bees to a honeypot. We'd have all our players go on the ball, and teams, if they could just get it in that pop that little inside bubble and get it to the outside, that they'd expose us. And he works so tirelessly in terms of, running patterns and players understanding sort of situations and reading cues and these kind of things, which now you look at Melbourne, they're almost bulletproof in that exact situation that probably undid them as us as a midfield group or as a club for so many years. So, he was so, so important in that space. And then offensively, he spent a lot of time, along with Goody, developing a real clear style in terms of how we want to play offensively and sort of adding gears to our offense, being able to play slowly, being able to play fast, being able to play kicking to a contest. So, from my experience, Melbourne were sort of trying to chase him down for a few years, and they finally got their man. I know behind the scenes, in particular, Josh Marnie was, right. And they got him, and he certainly made a difference, that's for sure.
It's impossible to keep a coach in an assistant role, isn't it? Isn't it? If you're asked, I'm not sure. Nathan Jones with his insights. We'll keep these conversations going throughout our Friday night preview. We will be inside the Collingwood
Where's
camp
Moons?
Next with Brendan Bolton. This is the AFL Nation pregame show for Beaumont Tiles. They now have hybrid flooring in store. Cameron Mooney is going to join us tonight.
You're listening to the 2022 Premiership season on AFL Nation for Beaumont Tiles. Hybrid flooring in store now.
Friday night footy from Marvel. It is Collingwood and the Western Bulldogs. AFL Nation is for Sports Power. Get the latest Nike footy boots in store at Sports Power now. It's one of those weird fixtures where it's Collingwood's home game against a tenant club at Marvel. Why these games persist is a bit of a... It's a bit of a thorn. Is Collingwood just hosted the Suns at the MCG? They surely should be playing this game at the G rather than at the Bulldogs' home ground.
Yes, it's mind you, they get to do it at the MCG, don't they, in reverse sometimes? It is odd. It is odd. But there's a lot of things about the fixture that's odd.
Yes. Brendan Bolton's going to join us shortly. Continuing on the coaching and the Giants conversation. So the one question with the Giants is, can they play in a different way? So I think the evolution of the Cameron years is really interesting as they start all flash with no grunt and then they become fearsome. And then suddenly they're all grunt with none of the flash that they used to have. A decent portion of the season is, can they be more than they have been in the period of decline?
That's a great question, Jones. Yeah, I mean, I think they can be. Now, whether they still can be now, I think they could have been, but that's with the asterisks that they had in. He never had the full team at his disposal. He always had injuries, but that would be the criticism of him if there is one, is that they lost that dynamic style and what they replaced it with, probably apart from 2019, where they just incredibly found a way to get through and then fell well short. We didn't really see the best of them when they should have been at the right age to strike.
Yeah, I reckon that's the exciting thing for Mark Vevey, and I reckon you've probably that's the opening for him for the next 13 weeks. Mm. Is can he release the shackles? Can he bring, you know, an element of defensiveness and their hardness and brutality around the contest? But can they get back to playing like with? And or can they harness a genuine flair on offense, which allows their players, like all that talent is still there, but can they find the right balance for it? And I think in recent times, maybe they've tipped one way or the other. And for the next 13 weeks, I reckon that's the challenge for him. If he's going to be coach or not going to be coach, we all think he's probably not going to be. But the biggest challenge for him is, well, can I get some excitement and some exuberance around the club and the team again? And you know, open up, I guess, any sort of constraints that may have already been there and see if we can just get them back playing with their real natural talent and flair.
It was pretty damning that they could play. I know it was a different calibre of opponent, but they could play the way they could against Adelaide and then just show none of that last week against Geelong. Now, that was obviously brilliantly coached by Chris Scott and what Geelong did, but there was not a sign of it, was there? And his description of boring, like it was clearly a frustration for him. And it didn't necessarily reflect, I mean, it didn't reflect greatly on Leon, but it was more a reflection on the players, surely.
Mm. Well, yeah, but it's sort of hard to make comment without knowing how they're trying to play or what they're trying to execute. I guess from what we see, you're why not take more risks? What's been the message during the week? You know, why not, you know, switch the ball a bit more or try and go back through the corridor or, you know, create more overlap. Why go back off the mark? Why play slowly? Well, they're all the things that we don't have an answer for. And it's sort of hard to make an opinion on, but I think, that's what we hope for now with the opportunity that Mark Vey has is can he release some of that? And can we see them playing more regularly the exciting brand of footy that we think and probably know that they're still capable of?
tonight, what will we see with Collingwood and the Western Bulldogs? We're going to touch base with both teams. Let's head into the Magpies lineup first with Senior Assistant Coach Brendan Bolton. Brendan, great to have you on AFL Nation.
Thanks for having me on, gents.
I don't know whether you can say it. What is it? 6:34. Is Scott Pendlebury a late out tonight?
Yes, he won't be playing, unfortunately. Over the last 2 or 3 weeks, I think many clubs have been hit with this flu. And, I found out late this afternoon he's not feeling the best, so we'll miss our skipper.
So the flu rather than the health and safety protocols?
Yeah, that was my understanding. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So what does, when you get here, what does that do? Is there a little bit of work to be done?
Well, we have our sub in place, so... it's just a little bit of a shuffling of the decks. We actually picked probably 8 guys that could play through the defence this week, so it was quite an easy little shuffle. Sometimes it's a little bit more complex, but that one was a bit easier for us. I don't think he can replace Pendles in terms of talent and leadership, but in terms of someone to fill the role, we had enough there to cover.
He's just a boring defender these days, isn't he, Bolt? Yeah. You don't have to worry about him too much.
Yeah, give him a stir and tell him that.
Yeah. Before Jonesy speaks to you, a lot of interest in the defence, obviously, and Darcy Moore. So what was the analysis team, what coaching-wise, in the end after last week, and will adjustments be made for tonight?
Yeah, I just thought, in general, between the arcs, when the ball was turned over, we're a little bit loose, both mids and defenders. I think we probably guarded a little bit too much space for too long, so... A little bit of a tightening of the screws in that area. We've been doing that pretty well, but last week was one where we'd like to grow on for sure.
And did the coach have to have special conversations with Darcy, not just about what he did or didn't do on the field, but just copping that kind of attention post, which he probably hadn't really experienced much in his career up till now.
I think, Leper has a really strong relationship with all the defenders, obviously working that part, so he would have analysed their tapes and gone through it in a real matter-of-fact sort of conversation. I think that's a great thing about line coaches. They get to work with players so closely, they form a really strong relationship and can have the conversations required, but I'm sure you'll see a determined Darcy tonight.
And how much do you think that defensive side of things being exposed? I mentioned to the boys earlier, I think internally, from my experience, Bolts, that the pressure would have been put on more so potentially to the players up the field, the midfielders and the forwards, to assist with helping those defensive boys and their ability to be able to position and intercept.
No, you're exactly right. As you know, with team defence, there's layers of how much pressure the forwards are putting on, whether or not your midfielders are defending too skinny and not the corridor, because as we know, if you get an open play through the corridor, it's really difficult for a defender one-on-one. So... it wasn't all just in our review, it was never just about the defenders, it was about the team defence and the layers, and at times the midfielders are a little bit skinny and not owning the corridor well enough, so that's where the game's at the moment.
Yeah, and the loss of Grundy, obviously disappointing for you guys, but I think Darcy Cameron getting the chance again to have a crack as the number one ruckman, he's been pretty impressive the last couple of weeks, but where do you see his best footy fitting in? Is he potentially your number one ruck down the track, or is he, is he the forward ruck foil for Grundy that you're looking for?
Yeah, really hopeful that he can, establish himself as a ruck forward, because, we have got Grundy, who we know can be a lead in this competition. So that second ruck that can make an impact up forward, I think, are really valuable in the competition. They're hard to find. There's not many of them, and the ones that do it really well are really valuable. So for Darcy, I'm really excited that he gets this chance to show his wares in the ruck and build his confidence there, because he hasn't played a lot of games, but... we're also hopefully can make some impact up forward.
Paddy Lipinski lines up against his old team. He has been terrific in black and white. What have you made of his 8 games, Brendan?
Yeah, Jared, I've been really, really pleased with the way he transitions up and down the ground. I was surprised. I didn't realise from afar. I've obviously coded a lot of vision of him, but he transitions far better than I thought, both offensively and defensively, and gives us a real... good balanced runner there, because we've got some bulls in there like Taylor Adams that go and hunt the ball, and I think he gives us balance both ways.
Is there any other players that have really surprised you, Brendan, when from instead of being the opposition, they're now you get to work closely with them?
Yeah, there's been quite a few. I've been, although he's not playing at the moment, I was surprised with the leadership and understanding of the game that Jamie Elliott has. He was a real organiser and leader both up front and when he went into the centre bounces. So, that was a real surprise that there was more leadership within the group. It was just a matter of asking and probing enough to understand what they feel and think inside. And Jeremy Howe's another one. His leadership was around the game and how all the other layers affect the defence or offence. I thought, you know, we've got a lot of players that could potentially coach into the future, I think.
We were just talking before, Brendan, at the establishment phase of the season, things are shiny and new. You get really good results to match the work that's being done. You find yourself at 4-4. Have we moved into the grind of the season now? I'm just interested in what the flow looks like internally.
No, I would agree with that. You know, you start to get into winter, and once you hit sort of June and July, I reckon the big boys stand up, so to speak. I reckon they play consistent footy through that. And, you know, you look at Melbourne and Richmond over the last few years, they play really consistent footy through that period. So it's a marathon AFL, and I think we need to show grit and determination through the next 4 to 6 weeks because that can set you up for the back end of the year.
Do you feel like you've bedded down a lot of what... So I imagine there's an immense amount of work when you arrive as a new group. How bedded down is the elements of your game that you really want?
I think there's some really strong understanding in the three phases that all coaches talk about, offence, defence and stoppage. So I think they know the core principles, and we've educated really, really heavy. Actually, we've been unrelenting with our education, and the players have been so receptive. But once you've got the core, there's all the little details and intricacies around it, and that's taking some time. So I think from a big picture, they know what we're about, but there's still some detail to nail over the next few years, I would have thought.
Yes.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And you know, having spoken to a couple of coaches that have made significant changes either last year or the year before, just how long it actually takes to embed, particularly if it's a significant change, and how you're going about one of those three, or particularly if it's a defensive system, say. So what's your view on how long it does take?
I reckon...
Well, does it depend on your playing group where they're at?
I think there's a combination of what you said. I think it depends on how many leaders you've got on the oval that can see and been around and can see how one phase you're talking about will affect another. And I think that's the challenge. You can coach a phase of the game, but when you really get genuine buy-in, they can see the ripple on how it affects offence, defence and stoppage where they're running. So that takes a bit of time because they've virtually got to live it, fail it sometimes, and also be successful with it to really grab on, particularly young players, where the older guys have lived a little bit of that. So, in short, I think lived experience is really important.
It's great to get your insights, Brendan. Good luck for tonight. Thanks.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Cheers.
Brendan Bolton, assistant coach at Collingwood. AFL Nation will take your feedback all weekend on the Southern Phone open line. Switch and save with Southern Phone mobile plans. Pendlebury, given what the Bulldogs are missing, Pendlebury out's a reasonable balance of the ledger.
Yeah, absolutely. I was about to say, evens the ledger a little bit. Yeah, it's... Well, particularly with how hard they would have reviewed things defensively, probably the number one guy on their side from a general setup communication, organisation point of view, I think he's a big underrated loss. Like, obviously, we know the calibre of player, even the quality he's been playing down back. But, yeah, it's be interesting. He's had a terrific year, really. Mm.
The Hyundai Stereoload is the van that is big on space and huge on safety. It's the only commercial van to receive 5-star rating and platinum awards for safety from ANCAP. Available from $47,990 drive away for ABN holders. Take a tech drive today. Nathan Jones to be joined by Cameron Mooney tonight on AFL Nation. Jared Whateley and Anthony Hudson with you. The pregame show is for Beaumont Tiles. They now have hybrid flooring in store.
You're listening to the 2022 Premiership season on AFL Nation. For Beaumont Tiles, hybrid flooring in store now.
Collingwood and the Western Bulldogs Friday night footy, AFL Nation for Sports Power. Get the latest Nike footy boots in store at Sports Power now. Scott Pendlebury confirmed out for the Magpies. Brendan Bolton's told you that. We'll touch base with the Bulldogs chief executive, Amit Baines, shortly. North Melbourne's week. So year two can be a tricky year to navigate in a rebuild. You might have lived year two a few times over, Nathan. What have you made of the conversation surrounding North Melbourne?
He's lived a lot of things that we're talking about.
It'd be interesting to know which phases of the rebuild you would delineate. how did you take in North's week?
Oh, I like the fact, I loved his honesty, the fact that he admitted that he was wrong. I think that was endearing for mine. Like, I think if he goes the other way and says, no, that's just what I do, I think that it becomes polarising and quite divisive amongst the players. But I would hope that how they've addressed it publicly, he would have gone to in even more depth, you know, behind closed doors. And if anything, for me personally, if I've seen a coach do that, I think that's, you instantly become more relatable, getting down on their level and then being able to understand that, you know, he's human, he makes mistakes. In the heat of the moment, he's just let rip and he doesn't want that to be, you know, a definitive moment in his coaching career. But I have major concerns for North, really. Like, it's, you know, the inconsistency of their effort. I think watching them play, I'm not 100% sure on, like, there's a distinct game style in terms of how they're, what they're trying to do, particularly when I watch them defensively and as a unit and as a team from, you know, where I've come from and how I've seen Melbourne build into the powerhouse that they are right now. So it's an interesting time at North. Like, they're going to want to get results, because if not, then we see little things that bob up that then create bigger issues. And the example is the Horn Francis contract situation. Now, read into it what you want, but that's a concern. Like, he's an ultimate talent that they would 100% be needing if they're rebuilding their footy club. That's the kind of guy you're rebuilding your club around. And you don't want, you want to keep selling hope to those players so they can generate some sort of momentum off the back of it and continue to build the foundations behind it, that, you know, ultimately they don't lose players like him and of his calibre, which is then essentially they're back to square one again.
Yep.
It's opened up a fascinating discussion during the week about Sprays and the psychology behind it all. But I think we need a premiership, a former North Melbourne great, a premiership player. I'm sick of hearing Kingy's views. We need a premiership player who just bled for the Kangaroos. And in the absence of that, hello, Cameron Mooney.
You were dying
for that, weren't you? Oh, can we just have Moons on here?
Hang on.
No, that's, there we go.
There we go.
Hello, guys. Hello, guys. How is everybody?
Nice to see
fantastic
you.
Fantastic driving up, listening to you boys. You sounded fantastic. You just wanted that intro all night. look, from a North Melbourne point of view, look, I've got two names for these young players, Jared. Dennis Pagan. Seriously, boys. Harden up a little bit. God. The Sprays that we used to get, Nath. Unbelievable. So, look, I do agree. I like the fact that, yeah, he probably went a little bit too far as a lot of their players concerned, but did he own up to it? Yeah, put his hand up and said, you know, we'll all try to do better, and that's okay. But look, there is still room in our game for a coach to give a group a bit of a spray. So harden up a little bit, boys.
To get the truth across. I'm curious, Nathan, is, so in the phases of the rebuild that didn't work, so before you get to the building of the superpower, when does it creep in that, oh, God, I don't know whether we're on the right track or not.
I think for me it was like sensing that whether the club as an entirety was on the same page, like from as an organisation. Because, you know, within the footy department, they're pushing, but are they getting the support and the resources and the, you know, just being given the direction from above to allow that growth and that investment in the direction that they're going? And I felt at times, you know, throughout my career, you know, there wasn't that. They weren't on the same page. That, you know, and they weren't sort of pushing in the one direction. And then, you know, then the experience where it all started for Melbourne and where they are right now was, you know, the Peter Jackson appointment, Ruse appointment, the succession with Goody, and all throughout that period, there was never a time that there was a deal. And I was skipper through that time, so I was privy to a lot more sort of private conversation other than just being a part of the team. There was never a deviation in terms of where we're going. Yes, the team sort of went a little bit forward and a little bit back, but that's just progress. There's no lineal line to the premiership. But internally, as far as aspiration, direction, and I guess the core value in terms of what we wanted to stand for and where we wanted to go and get to, that didn't change for a 5-6 year period, and ultimately we get the reward.
I think the biggest thing from a footy club, and people have got to remember, is just how hard this game is, and it takes a long time to grow as a group. Geelong, we took we took close to five, six, 7 years before we won a premiership up in the Bomber. You boys under Goody, what was that, 5 years?
5 years, yeah.
5 years. That's a long time in football terms, but people outside of footy clubs aren't patient. You know, it's a dirty word for a lot of supporters and a lot of people in the media and all of those type of things. But
I think that we saw, David Noble saw what Chris Fagan did at Brisbane, and Fagan was brilliant with the message, wasn't he? Like, they could lose.
Yeah, but he had a better list too.
And, but, I mean, obviously he did. So it's hard to it's not fair probably to make those two comparisons directly, except probably in being able to sell it and being able to give them people to identify where they're going. And maybe it is just because they don't have the talent.
I think year two is too early for us to be jumping up and down. I know it might look like they've gone backwards, but and the results aren't great. But it's what they think they're how they're going internally. That is the big thing. And from a player point of view, and this is a good one for you, Nate, I think from with a coach, do they lose the players? And when they lose the players, that's when they're done.
Yeah.
That's when they're cooked.
Yep.
Now, I've spoken to North people. He hasn't lost the players. Yeah. They really like him. They really love the way that he's teaching them.
Cam Mooney, Nathan Jones in place from the Bulldogs camp next in the lead up to the Pies and the Dogs. AFL Nation, the pregame show for Beaumont Tiles. They now have hybrid flooring in store.
You're listening to the 2022 Premiership season on AFL Nation. For Beaumont Tiles, hybrid flooring in store now.
Friday night footy at Marvel. It's Collingwood and the Western Bulldogs. Scott Pendlebury is out of the Magpies side. Cal Brown comes into the 22. And Jeremy Howe is the captain for the evening. So a little shuffle around for the Pies with their skipper, the late out. The medical subs are McRae for the Pies and Rourke Smith for the Western Bulldogs. We've spoken to Brendan Bolton in our pre-match show. Amit Baines is going to join us shortly, the chief executive of the Western Bulldogs. In fact, he might be with us now. Yes? Is Amit with us? I've got Nathan Jones, Cameron Mooney, Jared Watley and Anthony Hudson. Amit, good evening.
Evening, gentlemen.
We were just thinking at the start of the program, fork in the road? Is it a fork in the road game at 3-5?
Oh, I think it starts becoming a bit perilous if we lose tonight and go 3-6. So certainly an important game for us.
Does that raise the nerve levels coming in?
Oh, I think it does. I'm a nervous type anyway before any game day, so it's probably a little bit more heightened coming into a game like this and what's on the line. But I know the guys have had a really strong week. And whilst we've got a few players that are missing from last week, it's great to have the captain back and Alex Keith as well.
Mate, Cam Mooney here, mate. How are you going?
Well, thanks, Cam.
Just on Marcus Bontempelli, I know we've talked about where he plays. We know where he plays best. He's an AAA plus grader in the midfield, but you've needed him down forward, obviously, with the loss of Bruce. Do we keep going with that experiment, or is this like, you know what, as Jared said, maybe it's a fork in the road game. Do we just put our main man in the midfield and let him go?
Yeah, I think, again, Cam, it's a good question. I think, you know, it's dependent a bit on the opponent and what we've had available as well. You know, we had Buku come into the team last week after some strong VFL form. He's obviously still pretty raw, but competes really strongly in the air that, you know, gave us another target against Port Adelaide. So that'll help with getting that balance right. But, yeah, obviously Marcus is, you know, one of the best midfielders, if not the best, when he's up and going. So, you know, it'd be nice to have two of him.
And missing Tim English, obviously, with the hamstring and then now the flu. Obviously, his form this year has been outstanding and from my perspective, probably one of your most important players. How is he and will he be back next week?
Yeah, no doubt, Nathan. He, has had a tremendous year to date, and that hamstring injury was a bit of a blow. And we're really excited about him coming back. He did a terrific session over the last weekend that, you know, was the final tick off for a new game ready ahead of training this week. And then, been laid up by the flu. So, he's still suffering a little bit today. So in terms of next week and beyond, that'll need to be assessed when he's fully healthy and, you know, able to train and get that workload back into him, given he already missed 3 weeks coming into this week.
He probably owes Collingwood one or two, doesn't he, from previous matches too, with Brody Grundy teaching the lesson a couple of times?
Yeah, well, that's right. And Brody obviously injured himself, so, you know, potentially would have been an opportunity. But in the end, it's an opportunity for Jordan Sweet to play. He got his opportunity for, you know, three, four games last year during the middle of the season and acquitted himself well. So, you know, fantastic opportunity on a Friday night for him to show his wares.
How do you manage and assess how a team is going when your injury list is so big at the moment?
Yeah, look, I think it's difficult. You know, the size of the injury list is one thing, but I suppose to have missed some of those key planks, and you look at the team that played last week, to not have, you know, your full forward, your full back, ruckman, best midfielder, you know, sometimes it's not the quantity, it's the quality, and that's been a little bit hard. So I think the most important thing internally has been a real keeping of the faith, and knowing what we're capable of, and just having to come to games like tonight and just try and get the job done, and, you know, see who comes back next week and face that opponent, you know, with the 23 that we take out there. But it has been difficult and challenging at different times, there's no doubt.
And how's Bevo going, Amit? Obviously, the year probably may have not gone to expectation at this point in time through a whole host of reasons, which you've already touched on a couple. But, you know, we saw a little bit of a blow-up of sorts early in the year after the Melbourne game. But how's he coping under the pressures?
Yeah, oh, look, we won't, and you're not asking me to, but we won't go back to that round one. But certainly since that time, he's been, you know, he's been faultless, really. And, you know, he put his hand up at the time and acknowledged the wrongdoing in that, as we did as a club. And I think his commitment to being better in that realm has been terrific. But the way he is as a person, and that ongoing positivity and optimism that he generates within the team, you know, the self-belief that the players carry out on the ground is still very strong, and, you know, that helps coming off the history that we have in the last few years of finals as well.
Alistair Clarkson made the observation last night. So he said, halfway through the third quarter, we all feel like the Bulldogs are going to win the premiership, and maybe you felt that as well. And then not much has to go wrong, and it's just so hard to get back. Do you have some sort of affinity with his observation?
Yeah, oh, look, I don't think any of us thought that we'd won the premiership at that point in time, but certainly felt that we were going really strongly, and yeah, clearly things unravelled at that point. But knowing how hard it is to get there, clearly the mental load of trying to get back there again after the disappointment of last year is pretty strong. And to have not had some of the continuity that we would have liked has obviously been that extra bit challenging. But we all know that it's really tough and challenging, and that's why we have so much respect for clubs like, you know, Richmond, you know, even Geelong and other teams that have consistently been top four finishing and playing in the last couple of weeks of the season.
Is there any way to measure that? So one of the unanswerable questions being pondered is there scarring or whatever that is? Is there any way to actually measure that internally in real time?
Oh, it was a good qualification at the end, Jared, with the real time. I'm not sure it is in my experience. I think, you know, there are elements that come to light in real time, but it's really the hindsight reflection on the season and different points. And, you know, I think part of the difficulty is understanding, you know, in depth what each individual player or coach or staff member is feeling at any given time that goes to that. But, you know, I can say that the confidence in what we're capable of is still very strong. But going to your opening question, the results need to reflect that now.
I mean, where is Riley West at? I mean, it's very hard when you're the son of a legend at a football club, and I think we've seen that he's got a lot of talent, but I guess he's been at the club now a few years but hasn't put together a lot of games. Where is he at? What's happening?
Now, it's a good question. It's terrific that he gets an opportunity tonight as well. He's toiled away, as you've said, in VFL level for a while. I think Riley's best football as a junior was as a midfielder, really tough, uncompromising type of inside midfielder, and obviously at our club it's a challenge. You know, we look across to our opponents tonight and love Paddy Lipinski and wish him well to an extent tonight, but it's been tough for some of those guys to get regular opportunity. So, you know, Riley's had to reframe his game a bit more as a small forward, half forward, and you know, play well in that type of role to then get the opportunity where the vacancies lie at senior level. So to his credit, you know, he hasn't dropped his guard. He hasn't, you know, sooked, for want of a better word, at any time. He's just kept persisting, and he's a really good teammate. You know, he's very popular. So I know that with his selection this week, the guys are really thrilled for him, and I'm sure he'll give a good account of himself.
As a former list manager, mate, philosophically, hypothetically, can you have too many midfielders?
I think you need the balance on the field, absolutely. You know, I think if you look at our team, there's, you know, probably a couple of areas where we could use a bit of strengthening that we've, you know, been well documented, particularly with key defenders when injuries have struck. So I think the balance is always important. But I think one of the real qualities of Bevo as a coach throughout his entire tenure is just taking really talented footballers and, you know, getting them to be very versatile in what they do to then, you know, deliver what is the best outcome for the club.
What about Lockie Hunter? I mean, how's everything going there with him? I mean, clearly you're missing him on the ground, but more importantly, how's he going off it?
Yeah, look, Lock's improving a lot day by day. It's obviously been a, not only this year, but been a, you know, two or three difficult years for him, which has been well documented. So the club continues to support him. I know that his teammates and key footy staff speak to him and catch up with him regularly. I was in touch with him a few days ago, and his spirits are good. And as you know, the difference between being healthy and happy within yourself from a physical and health physical and mental health perspective as a person is still a different threshold to doing it as a professional footballer. So it's just, you know, making sure that he's absolutely right and he's in that frame of mind to come back and then, you know, compete at the level that he wants to and that we want to, because he's an incredibly important part of our setup.
It feels like in what you've got on your list, Amit, there are obvious gaps, and we were theorising before, is the tall forward gap is clear, but it's possible that the answers are already on your list. They're just not going to be ready for the now. How do you balance up whether you've got it or whether you've got to actually get into the market at the end of the year and add it?
Yeah, it's, you know, it is a live question for us at the moment. Obviously, with Brucey going down last year and not playing for the bulk of this year, and Jamara is the obvious one who has played, had some really good outings against Sydney, was really impressive and a key contributor in that win, but has obviously struggled since. And Sam Darcy's the other one that you're referencing, Jared, who gets his first game at VFL level this weekend after a really slow, considered build-up with him. So the interesting thing with him for Dogs fans, he got drafted at 203 centimetres, but a couple of weeks ago clocked in at 207.5. So it's been the it's been the growing pains that have slowed him down a bit. So clearly, with someone still growing at that rate, we've just been really patient with him. So it's a good question, and we'll continue to assess that. We're hopeful that Josh Bruce returns at least at VFL level, you know, in the next sort of 4 or 5 weeks, which will also give us a better indication of, you know, how quickly he's able to come back to at least playing a really strong contributing role.
Is it those extra centimetres, does it make it harder to be a key forward? Obviously, he can ruck as well, but at that height, boy, does it make much difference?
Oh, I think it does. I mean, one of the clear as a father's son, it was a decision that was easy for us to make given how talented he is. But in his draft year, he played key forward, he played a bit of ruck, he played key defender as well, and was likened, obviously got a long, long way to go to get there, but likened a little bit to Harris Andrews in terms of the way he played and the reach and things like that. But those extra centimetres make it a bit more interesting, I think, to play that end of the ground and perhaps as key forward given that height.
I don't have those growth spurts in year five and then just stopped after that.
Still waiting, man.
I could have a growth spurt.
Are you on the cusp of the Tim English signature?
Yeah, look, things have been really positive between Sam Power and Andrew McDougall, Tim's manager. So we're hopeful that you know, gets finalised and resolved. I think at the moment with Tim being unwell and just focusing on getting back into the team, you know, that's clearly the priority for all of us. But we are hopeful, and, you know, we do have a few players out, but they're all, you know, well-progressed contract negotiations. And I think, you know, in part, that's where the future confidence comes with us from a list management perspective of the depth of talent on our list, even, you know, if we don't have the ability to have them all out there at this point in time.
So with English, do you feel like whatever, if there was ever any danger from the West, that it has passed?
Never say never until it's until you've got a contract ink, Jared. But yeah, look, we feel pretty confident about it.
Amit, good luck for the night. Sam, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, gentlemen.
Amit Baines, the chief executive of the Western Bulldogs. Their list is so fascinating.
It is.
And a little bit of it depends on what happens. So just, you could run the exercise. Imagine if they miss the eight.
Every chance.
Do they sit there and go, is this still a premiership list? The injuries, that we've got these key pieces who we're trying to develop. If they scrounge into the eight and don't amount to much, if they make the eight and end up making a push on what they've been previously, their list is deeply fascinating.
I personally think they've got enough talent to be a premiership team again.
And do they think they nearly are? Do they do what Melbourne did and go, okay, we're going to get a pick way higher than we thought we were going to. Let's couple that with our future, with the future first, say, and really be aggressive and go out and either get, if they think there's talent in the draft, then pick those guys who they can make a difference, or maybe.
But is there window now? So you talk about going to the draft
or trade to.
So the biggest one for me right now is: does Josh Bruce come back and be the Josh Bruce that we saw before his knee? So that's going to be their big question. If he doesn't, well, there's a hole. For me, that's their biggest hole right now, is that second key forward. Now, do they go out and get someone?
Same in defence, though, as well, isn't
it? Yeah, but you got Keith. I'm a big fan of Keith. He'd come back. And again, injuries aside, if everyone's fit, I think the Bulldogs are a premiership team. But they are missing a key forward if Bruce doesn't come back to be the player that he was before he went out, in my opinion.
And what will Darcy be at that
That's
height?
Tall for a full forward, isn't it, or a centre-half forward?
What was he in the end?
207 and a half.
He's a ruckman.
Jeez. Yeah.
And if he's a ruckman, then English is...
Might be an NBA career there.
Yeah.
Might have missed out on. Be a lot easier.
English's start to the season said he's your guy for years to come.
Oh,
it's a really interesting... And, you know, will Jamara come on?
That's still a question, isn't it?
Yep.
See, Jamara, for me, I've watched a little bit of Jamara, and I watched him last year in the VFL. I don't think he's your key forward. I don't think he plays that way. I don't think he's your crash and bash type of forward. I think he's extremely skillful and talented, but I would love to see him, and I hope over the next year or two he gets a huge engine, Nath, and I hope he actually runs and uses that ability up through the ground, like a Matthew Richardson, like a Nick Riewoldt, just leading and running, all of those type of things. But for me, I don't want to see him crashing back because I don't think that's his game. And if you're going to play him in that position, you're hurting him as a player, and I think you're hurting yourselves as a team.
They can see that it's going to be Darcy, Norton and Jamara. Mm. And it's just a matter of time. That's the really difficult question, because if they then go to try and get another forward from somewhere else, they've got to sell to him that you've got to come here and be our gun forward. But that forward's going to go, well, hang on.
You've got a couple of others coming through.
I might only get 1 year and then be squeezed out.
And it's also you've got to look at their age demographic. I mean, this is why I talk about Melbourne. I think Melbourne have just got a hand on the cup for the next 2 or 3 years because of their age demographic of their best players. Now, these guys are a little bit the same, I think. I think their best players are still in that really sweet age of 26 to 30. So I don't think they're going to go anywhere anytime soon, as long as they're injury-free.
The Hyundai Staria Load is the van that is big on space and huge on safety. It's the only commercial van to receive 5-star rating and platinum awards for safety from ANCAP. Available from $47,990 drive away for ABN holders. Take a tech drive today. You're on the AFL Nation pregame show for Beaumont Tiles. They now have hybrid flooring in store. Bulldogs going through their warm-ups ahead of their match against the Magpies this Friday night. Cam Mooney and Nathan Jones are our experts tonight. We usually do a little bit of sort of old bull, young bull, the difference in the generations. You're not quite generationally removed as we would normally have.
I am curious about this.
I'm getting old.
So it felt to me like, in the talk about spray, so Michael Voss could remember a spray from more than 30 years ago, word for word. Lachie Neal could remember a spray he'd got before he'd played a game. Is there a phrase that lives in the back of your mind and haunts you from an angry coach at some stage during your career?
Well, Anthony brought up my fantastic 99 premiership. So 5 minutes to go, Jonesy. We're up by about 40-odd points. We've got Carlton beat. And I've spent most of the day on the bench. So I started on the ground. I got dragged after about 5 minutes. I spent the rest of the day on the bench. So finally, 5 minutes to go, we're up. The game's won. I finally get the call. I go back on. And I'm so angry. I run back on, and Simon Beaumont ran straight in front of me as I ran on, and I've lifted an elbow and got him right in the back of the ear. Umpire saw it, free kick. I get dragged straight back on. So, again, this is now 4 minutes to go in the grand final. We're up by 40-odd points, and I've got handed the phone and Dennis. And he has called me everything that you can imagine under the sun. He said my mum made a mistake having me. All of those things just hit me between the eyes with it all. So that was easily the best spray that I ever got. And we're 3 minutes from winning a premiership.
Wow.
So that's how ruthless the old man was.
Mine's not as good as that. Neil Danaher, though, one of my first training sessions, I kicked the ball into the man on the mark and he absolutely went through me. And I was like, we're at training. I'm a 17-year-old, I've been at a club like a couple of weeks. He went through me saying I was lazy and I had my head up my ass. And,
Was he waiting for a chance, do you reckon?
I'm not sure. I reckon maybe I must have just rubbed him up the wrong way in that first week or two. And But I'll never forget that because it was like he fully made an absolute point of it in front of the entire team. And I was like, I sort of finished training and left and was like, that was a bit out of, like, character. I did not expect that. Like, all I did was kick the ball and the man on the mark. Like, but I think he was just sort of teaching me that, I guess, the simplicity of footy and just making sure I don't get too far ahead of myself too quickly. So,
And he could give a good spray.
Oh, he gave me. Fortunately for me, I don't really have any recollection of being absolutely nailed myself personally, but I remember Danners in particular, like, you wouldn't want to be in the front row. I'll give you the hot tip. You'd need windscreen wipers. Like, he was spraying, literally spitting all over you when he let rip, and he had veins popping out everywhere. But, yeah, he could give an almighty one. But then following on from that, I don't reckon, like, it really has phased right out.
It is a different, you're right. I mean, it's a different generation now, and coaches have had to learn. And this is where a guy like David Noble, who is very old school. I mean, I had David Noble as my under-18s coach what was it? New South Wales ACT Rams. And we had plenty of run-ins. And I was a 16-year-old, and I thought, and I can sit up now and say it was all my fault because I was a stupid, cocky 16-year-old idiot. But he gave me a couple of absolute great sprays even back then. So he's very old school. So, yes, this is something that he has to learn. And again, he's put his hand up and admitted, so, I'll get better. And
it's probably a bit of the part-time, full-time stuff as well with the athletes. In the old days, you only had them a couple of times at training, so you could live on with fear and all that. But when you're seeing them all the time, that's a lot harder. I mean, some of those old sprays are unreal, aren't they? And you probably don't even know what I'm talking about. That's one of my favourites.
Well, I'm so interested. So you're the captain, you're Jack Zeeble, and you think it's okay, and you know there are some young players who don't, and how you walk that line. And he was so resolute. I don't think he had anything to apologise for because I am old school.
I love what Jack said. Yeah. As long as Jack went and spoke to the kids and said, look, how are you feeling? Let's go through this and have a chat with them during the week.
I reckon the fascinating thing is that this all happened, and we'd heard this had been going around for a little while, but it happened 6 weeks ago. So then it becomes public. So that's interesting, isn't it, as to what that does.
But it only takes, Janger to tell his brother and his brother to tell someone. Yeah. It gets out.
Not so much that it got out, but the fact that they've now had to live it all again.
Yeah. You double deal on it. Yeah. So whatever
I know you would have done this, Janger. You sit down with the young guys and, if you're next to a locker with next to the young boys, you just have a talk to them and all that kind of stuff. You very quickly get over it.
Yeah, well, your role really as the captain is to mediate those situations.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great insights. You're just slightly removed from the current generation of player now. The AFL Game Pre-Game Show. For Beaumont Tiles, they now have hybrid flooring in store.